rock. Blind boys don't lie.
Vamp Radio. Today is January 14th, 2009. And tonight your hosts are Amy, myself, Jess.
Hi.
And Ashley.
Hi, guys.
Tonight, G. Tom Mack is with us. All you Vamp fans out there should recognize the name G. Tom Mack as the original artist of Cry Little Sister, the theme song of Lost Boys. G. Tom Mack's body of work as an artist and songwriter has covered a massive array of ground from his powerful goth pop classic, Cry Little Sister. He wrote and performed for the movie Lost Boys through many diverse films and TV shows. He has songs featured in Chasing Amy and Ice Cube's The Players Club, to mention a few, and TV shows such as Scrubs and The Shield. G. Tom Mack has a prolific amount of songs that have been covered by artists such as Kiss, Carly Simon, Robert Plant, and Roger Daltrey. And it is an honor for Amy, Ashley, and Jessica to welcome G. Tom Mack to Vamp Radio. Welcome.
Thank you. How are you, girls? Girls, ladies, whatever you like to be called.
We just like to be called.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Well,
right answer.
Let's start off tonight with an easy question. Can you tell us how you got the name G. Tom Mack?
Well, as a lot of people probably, those people that did take the time to look on the album credit of the Lost Boys, saw Gerard McMahon, spelled G-E-R-A-R-D-M-C-M-A-N-N. And over time, you know, it was just one of those things. I'd go do radio shows back when I had an album out or in and around that time. And people can never pronounce my name. I don't know what, I know it's not that difficult. But Gerard McMahon, in England they say Gerard McMahon, so I never had a problem there. But, yeah, you know, I just, after a while, people used to call me G, and I would just say, yeah, maybe Gerard Thomas McMahon, G. Tom Mack. So that's how it came about, you know, I just thought it'd be easier. But then I find that people have a hard time with that, too. I don't know. It's all in the name, but I think they're getting used to it now. They call me G. Tom or G or whatever.
So is there something that you prefer? I mean, is G okay to call you?
G is a perfect thing to call me.
Okay.
Of course.
That's the name of Gerard, so I don't usually have
it
a problem
Gerard,
with it.
It is Gerard, you know. But most people now call me G. So, and
okay.
The interesting thing is, we all know. Not that we all know, but for the longest time, people never knew who did that song. And it was, you know, kind of crazy to me in that later on when the file sharing and all the causes and Napsters were out there, somebody took it upon themselves to put Sisters of Mercy as the artist that did that song. And of course I went, what? But for the longest time, you know, until just the last 3 or 4 years where people have become a lot more aware of actually that I did it and wrote it. And Sisters of Mercy never had a bloody thing to do with it, as much
right.
as I love
no.
those guys.
Originally,
those guys.
I thought that, too. I thought that
yeah.
it was Sisters of Mercy and until, you know, I started getting into the Vamp Radio thing and we did some research on it.
Yeah, it's amazing, though. You know, when you really think about it, it's like, didn't anybody look at the credits in the movie? Or, you know, not that I'm not coming down on you, my dear.
No, I know you and I.
But it's just like, it's beyond me that somebody wouldn't do that. Go, no, that's not Sisters of Mercy, although some did, you know. Besides
right.
you, of course, Amy.
Well, I'm in a mood. Well, that's Jess you're talking to. I knew who you were.
Hey, it's not that
See?
I didn't know who he was. I originally thought it was Sisters of Mercy.
Yeah. Well, come on, girls, don't start arguing on the radio in front of me.
Argue.
If you're going to do that, we should have a foursome.
Let's bring it on.
Which I've heard stories that you got. Never mind.
Hey, now, that's the wrong show.
Never mind.
In any case,
keep the party clean, as my mom used to say. Yeah, fat chance of that happening with me.
So you have a new album come out on August 12th called Downtown Fall.
Yep.
And Amy Ashby and I got to listen to Thou Shall Not Fall, and it's an amazing album.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Amy asked us to pick one song each off the album to play tonight.
Oh, really? That's cool. Yeah. Did you all pick the same song?
Well,
you have to play the same song three times. Never mind.
Well, you know.
So that's interesting. No, that's cool. I wonder what songs you picked.
Well, we're going to tell you.
Oh, you are, yeah.
Ashley, you want to. Ashley's pick was You Are. And Ashley, before we play the song, because we want to play the song for everybody and give them a chance to listen to your range in the album. Ashley, would you like to tell us why you picked You Are?
Well, first off, it was just beautiful. I just loved the way it sounded. And the lyrics were absolutely amazing. And
thank
obviously
you.
Had, you know, a deeper meaning than they seemed to have. I just really all around loved it. And I know what I'm saying is really short, but it was just indescribable.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's interesting, that song. When I sat down to write it, before the Lost Boys, the Tribe, became what it was, I was thinking of that movie, but then the script changed so much, and I just thought, you know, and even the Warner Brothers head of soundtracks heard it and said, my God, he says, this should be in Lost Boys, the Tribe. And I said, well, I wrote it for that. He said, well, let's see where they go with making the film. And, of course, you know, it just wasn't the right kind of film for what I wanted to put my song in. So, but I'm glad, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I really did. I was writing, having read the original script, which was a better script than what ended up being, and I'm sorry to say that. I just, you know, there was a script that went around. It was quite good, and they decided not to do it. But anyway, getting back to the song. Yeah, it does. It's a deeper meaning, and it's very much in the empowerment of a woman, you know. And it's not really a love song per se. It's just having that sort of adoration for the power that women have in them, and that's about all I can say about that. Before
well,
I start to break down and cry.
Well, let's play it before that happens.
It won't. That's right.
question what is pure and where it's gone.
Everybody in the chat room has exploded. They love that song. Great pick, Ashley.
Well, that's cool to hear. I haven't listened to that song in ages. I don't really listen to what I do after I'm finished with it. And it's amazing. It kind of brings back memories when I was singing that vocal at 4:30 in the morning. It was one of those things.
Oh, we 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, well, I sang it a couple of times. I just wasn't pleased with what it was, you know, when we were recording it. And I just, it just doesn't feel real enough. And then all of a sudden, Tony Silver, my mate in G-Tom Mac, and I said, let's just do it now. He said, are you mad? And I said, yeah, I am mad, meaning that's crazy in England, okay? I said, but I feel like I just want to do it. I just want to sing it in one take. I don't want to think about it. And I did, and it's interesting. It just took me back to that place of being 4:30 in the morning in that studio and walked out, you know, 25 minutes later after it was done. And, you know, I didn't listen back to the playback or anything, but driving home, I said, I think that was it. And the next day I went back in, and everybody was sitting around in the studio going, wow. You know, so that was a good reaction, you know. But it's better having a reaction from the audience out there, you know. It's really cool.
Yeah, people in the chat room are saying they have to go out to iTunes right now and buy the whole album just based on that one song. So.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well,
no problem.
Love you, fans. Love you. God.
And they all say they are all saying you know, they love your work and hi and all that too. So.
Oh well, I'm saying hi too. I just can't hear them.
So the album itself is very diverse. There's a lot of different styles in the album. Can you tell us a little bit more about it and how you went about making it and just about the album in general?
Well, it is diverse, as you said. I mean, I have a bit of that in me. It's kind of, I just don't like just writing in one particular vein, and I guess that's indicative of other people that record my songs, you know, from the likings of Kiss to even Carly Simon, which I'd never would in a million years thought, you know, she recorded a song of mine. And even though I respect her, but it's just, you know, it wasn't my, you know, her music, and I do love her voice, but it just wasn't, our music wasn't really a match, so to speak, but... She became a fan of my work and recorded a song of mine. But anyway, yeah, getting back to the album, interesting enough, it's the most focused album I've made where it is diverse, but it's just, it has, you know, I wanted to just tell all these stories that I've been living, you know, for the better part of a few years before, you know, and things like The Conversation was just, these were all very much stories of my life and meeting a lot of different people and in my world. And I think the process of, you know, what I go through is I write like 20 songs before putting an album together, 20 to 30 songs actually, and then to get the best sort of feel throughout a whole record. And Tony Silver, who co-produces the record with me, and he's very good at just helping me pick the right body of songs that work as a thread throughout an album. So it was just, you know, it's a lonely place. After you've written it, which is one lonely place, but once you get into the studio, it's, as probably a lot of people know by now, to hear enough artists talking about it, it's very insular. You don't know. You can only just do what you're feeling. And some days it's just crap, and some days it's like pure magic just pops out and things are really happening. So, but yeah, back to the diversity. I'm actually pleased that it is diverse. You know, I wouldn't want to make a whole album that's, you know, just kind of the same thing, you know?
Right. Did you have any influences? I mean, who were your favorite artists growing up?
Wow, that's a pretty loaded question, but I liked a lot of rhythm and blues stuff, you know, when I just as a kid, you know, around the house, you know, having Aretha Franklin on the radio and just hearing, you know, that stuff as a really young kid. When we, and then we moved to America when I was about 14, and then a lot of other, you know, a lot of other things came into play, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's on my end, by the way, that little ring, if you heard it. But it's, but yeah, I mean, God influences of Beck. I love Beck. I think, you know, that's an influence. I just love what he does. I mean, all of us musicians are influenced by each other. And love Prince. I mean, that was sort of, his work just does it for me. And coming up, I really, really took a liking to his stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's all over the place with me. I mean, I like Stravinsky. You know, I can put that stuff on and just have it on. And on the other side of it, it's, you know, like a lot of hip hop. I'm, you know, I mean, I love Biggie and I love all that stuff. I listen to it a lot. So, and I had the honor to work with Ice Cube back a few years ago when he did a movie called The Players Club. And he had asked me, which is a really funny story, he had no idea who I was. He had heard some tracks that I'd done that were kind of loopy and kind of the vibe of what he does or what he's attracted to. And he'd asked the music supervisor of the movie, get me somebody that's got a really good feel that's not the typical hip-hop guy. And he's played him a bunch of stuff, and he played him some of my stuff. He said, who is this? He said, this is this guy, G. Tom Mack. Well, of course, he didn't know who G. Tom Mack was, and he thought I was black. So, the long story short, I'm in New York. I watch a piece of the film. I came out to L.A. for doing another project, and I went back to New York and started getting an idea in my head, put it down, sent it out to the music supervisor of the film. And I get a call 3 days later. Cube loves it. It's the theme song to the movie. It's going to open up the film. I said, really? And so, yeah. So, you know, fast forward, I go to L.A. We all meet. He looks at me and like, oh, you're the guy. You know, and like, here I am white as, I'm pale. comparatively so. But anyway, it was an interesting, yeah, I just love it. You know, there's a cool little movie. I don't know if anybody ever saw it, but I'm sure some people out there did. And it was a great little film. He's a very, very smart filmmaker, musician, just everything. I have the greatest admiration for him.
Yeah, he is very talented. So how has the album been received so far? Have you gotten any feedback?
We've been getting great feedback, and it's been just, you know, you put an album out these days, it's a very, we live in such a time and the world is so different about, well, making a whole album. You're lucky that people get to hear a whole album these days. It's so much about picking one or two songs. But it's gotten good reviews, and it's nice to hear that people are actually downloading the entire album. And more and more, you know, I've been known for Cry Little Sister, or sort of known for Cry Little Sister for the longest time. And, you know, I've found other fans out there who heard Scrubs or, you know, I had a featured song in that and The Shield and all these other, Charmed and all these other TV shows, and have gotten to find my music and find out who I am, that I just don't, I'm not sure I'm the guy that did Cry Little Sister wasn't the only song I ever did. So, but I'm so damn well proud of that song. Why would I?
Yeah, as you should be. Every Vamp fan drools when that song comes on.
Yeah.
I don't seem to be holding you back either. I mean, your music, today, I mean, Cry Little Sister was a while ago, but the music on this album, Thou Shall Not Fall, is amazing. All of it is. And people in the chat room are saying they're going to go buy the album. They'll see when they get the album and they listen to it. You know, usually you think you're going to get one song or two songs in an album that you really, really love. It was really hard for all three of us to pick one song on the album that we wanted to play the most. So it really, truly is an amazing album. And that actually brings... Go ahead.
I'm just saying that is one of the highest compliments I could ever receive. And it's never easy making a whole album because you really want every song and to be... you know, as brilliant as it possibly can be, but you just never know. And it's just all about, it's all about keeping your head and your heart wrapped around what's real and what your true feelings are, you know, and
mm-hmm.
a little craftsmanship along the way didn't hurt either. So, but whatever.
Okay. Well, then the next thing we wanted to play another song from the album, and keep it going. That actually brings me into, All the Rage and one of my favorite songs on the album, The Downside. That's my pick, The Downside.
Wow.
I mean, there's always an upside, there's always a downside, especially what I'm going through right now.
Okay.
It really speaks to me sort of in a different way than I think it was written. But All the Rage and The Downside discuss a lot of the pressures and pitfalls of being famous. At least that's what I got out of it.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about those two songs?
Well, you know, The Downside was a bit... should I start talking about The Downside?
Either one. I'm going to play
well,
The Downside after you talk about it.
Yeah. Well, it was sort of everything leading towards Obama. Everything... There was sort of Bush stuff going on in that song. There was Hollywood going on in that song.
Mm-hmm.
There was all the things that, you know, now living in L.A., that you see, the wannabes, the climbing up the ladder and then realizing it's really not what I thought it was going to be like. Not me personally, because I've already climbed up the ladder and fell off it about 25 times already, or 1,000 times. But it's really about that. It's about finding and reaching that point of being that, you know, everything does have a downside, relationships and, you know, the things we go through when, you know, you get into something and you really think, feel optimistic about it and then you're disappointed or whatever. So it covers a lot of ground, that song.
Mm-hmm.
And but I was really initially just writing a bit on the political front, which I rarely do. I do to some degree, but I just thought,
mm-hmm.
I said, wait a second here, you know, let's put a little bit of what I live in, you know, which is this town of, like I said, wannabes and everybody climbing and, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that's what it's about.
Yeah, and the downside to what you have to give up to get that fame and, you know.
Well,
and
that's it, yeah.
The key phrase that you use in there is you can't take it with you, and, you know, that really kind of reminds a lot of people, you know, what are you really doing this for? Is it for personal pleasure? Or is it for fame? And is it really worth it? There's a downside. There's an upside, but there's a downside.
That's
what I got out of it, and I just love the music in it.
You explained the song better than I did.
Oh,
actually,
I didn't
because
to.
That's really what it is. I just went through this whole thing of what happens when I have to talk about my songs, I go right back to when I was writing it, you know? You're sitting
right
there, and you're going, okay, what did I do? Okay, I did that, picked up the pen and the paper, and then what was I thinking? Where was that note that I left in the car when I was driving down Sunset Boulevard and I saw this bloke, you know, doing something to another girl or whatever, you know? So it's a little bit of series of events in my mind when I have to be explaining these songs.
Right. Well, I mean, as a follow-up to that, obviously you've been in the industry for a while. Have you felt that kind of pressure from the industry to try to fit into that mold and be that famous guy and, you know, be flashy and...
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, when I was, my first records, people were trying to mold me and be, something I wasn't. You know, they get attracted to your talent, and when I say that, I mean a record company, and then they want you to do what you do, and then. And then they want to change you. They think, well, you need that real hit single, you know. And then they start, you know, saying, well, what if you had a song like that guy that's got the number one record in the country? I say, well, I'm not that guy, you know, and I'm not. But I mean, I do understand what they mean. They don't want me to be that guy, but they want to have it molded in the trend of what's going on. And I've never really done that. In retrospect, I'm glad I haven't, because it's really allowed me to develop and be what I am. I didn't really care about being, you know, super successful to millions upon millions of people. I mean, 200 people would be fine with me, and, you know, well, maybe a little more. But but I was happy with that. I was happy with just having the fans that would be around and want to listen to my work, you know, when I'm 70.
Right. Well,
big dream, I realize, but you know, but you get what I'm saying.
Having
the following, you know, and that's what's, and I kind of got out of that for a while when it was the whole thing about making records when I was in doing all this around Lost Boys. That period of time is when I had made, I made my first couple of albums, and I was having that issue with record companies. And And finally, you know, and we live in a day and age where I can now do what I want to do. It was an interesting period around Lost Boys. The record company didn't really want. I wrote the song. Joel Schumacher heard it, the director. He had asked me to write a song, the theme song for it. And I know we're getting off into something else here, but we'll come back to that. But it's, even at that point, the record company wanted to have, you know, Bill Collins sing My Little Sister or other. I mean, I went, what? And, you know, at that point I was kind of going, what? But I didn't really care, because it just, you know, at that point I knew how silly it was. But then Joel Schumacher, being unbelievably just into my vocal of what the demo was, he said, I don't want anybody singing this song except Gerard. So anyway, that's how that kind of happened. I gave a story away too soon, I realized, but...
That's okay.
Back to the downside.
On that note, we're going to play The Downside, take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Can't take it with ya. Can't take it with ya now. Can't take it with ya. That everybody asks every day, are you gonna be a wannabe a presidential pimp? Are you just a hoe, a queen for a day? To the right people for lunch, be the flavor of the month. Yeah, walk your little ass on the plane. If you really wanna be another wannabe, you know you've got to be somebody. Yeah, act a little stupid, make them all think you're gay. Better off without the rehab, look at Robert Downey Jr. Now you never hear what he's got to say. To the right people for lunch, be the flavor of the month. Yeah, walk those little kids up the plane. If you really wanna be another wannabe, you know you've got to be somebody, be somebody, be somebody. Yeah.
someday.